Radiotopia.
Welcome to the Kitchen Sisters present.
From PRX.
We're the Kitchen Sisters, Davia Nelson
and Nikki Silva.
Hi, I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life in prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts. The Kitchen Sisters Present is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I think it's probably the most human question. What is love for you? What is love for me? And no one had sat down and taken the time to hear that story. It speaks to the core of who you are, because what else is there?
Today, the Kitchen Sisters present Mimi Chakarova. Mimi Chakarova is something of a legend around these parts. Filmmaker, photographer, journalism professor, activist, immigrant, single mother. Watching Mimi around the journalism school at UC Berkeley when Nikki and I were teaching there, in my mind, I called her the Bulgarian bombshell. Last summer, Mimi's documentary, Men, A Love Story, premiered at the Telluride Film Festival, and Tom Luddy, one of the great filmkeepers and founder of the Telluride Film Festival, asked me to interview Mimi for their program on stage. How can you not be mesmerized by a woman who makes a film called The Price of Sex about women throughout Eastern Europe who are kind of pushed into prostitution, who says, I didn't intend to spend more than a year covering human trafficking. It ended up taking a decade. I didn't intend on reporting in more than two countries. So how did I end up in nine? Then Mimi said, before my trips, my mom used to ask, it took us so many years to get out of poverty. Why do you keep returning there? I would sit in her kitchen, and the only answer that would come to mind was, it was so damn familiar. Now, Mimi has a new series of documentaries that premiere online Friday, April 27th. You can see them at stilliriseFilms.org. Still I Rise is a short film series whose title is paying homage to Maya Angelou's famous poem. It features individuals who've journeyed from the depths of hardship and struggle and have come out the other side. As an immigrant herself, Mimi creates a platform where other immigrants, Muslims, African Americans in America, can tell their own stories and how, even in the face of adversity, they fought to rise. Mimi Chakarova. Love, art, and anger.
My name is Mimi Chakarova. I am a filmmaker and a photographer. I grew up in a small village in Bulgaria, very close to Greece. I grew up poor, barefoot, running around. I grew up around animals, chickens, sheep, donkeys. I had no concept of, wow, we don't have much, because we always have food. We ate what my grandmother grew. I mean, it was just very raw and beautiful. I felt free.
Канят ме мамо на тежка сватба.
My grandmother was a singer. Her name is Mira. She was a folk singer, which is how I learned this song in the first place. She worked the fields. She had a fourth grade education. I saw how much she struggled and how physical her life was. But I thought, my grandmother is doing this without being educated, and she's making food for us, and she is supporting us, and she is this rock.
And what drew you into photography?
My mom and I moved to Baltimore City from Bulgaria when I was 13, living in a studio apartment on top of this pizza place. The roaches would come up at night. We were very, very, very poor. I didn't speak any English. I couldn't communicate. I ended up going to a pretty rough inner city public school. A lot of the kids and teachers thought that I had a mental disability because I couldn't speak. The first year of my stay in America, I was treated as a mentally disabled person. We would receive these letters from Bulgaria, from my friends and family. Everyone was asking for stuff. Communism had collapsed, the economy had collapsed. There were lines for bread and for milk and for the most essential items. People were desperate. I tried to describe in my letters to my friends that we were poorer here than we were in Bulgaria. They thought I was lying. When you asked me why photography, it was evidence, it was proof of my existence.
And a language.
And a language, and that was the way I communicated. I wanted to show people back home that I was not bullshitting, that what I was describing in my letters was real. We didn't know how long we were staying. It was always being on the verge of packing up and leaving and then getting an extension. And okay, so we have another 6 months in this country. And that was the life that we had. And that was the purpose of the camera. That was the way I communicated with those back home. And later on, feeling that photography, almost I had exhausted that language, so I needed something more, and that became film. I made this film called The Price of Sex, and it changed me. I'm talking about posing as a prostitute. I'm talking about interviewing girls who had been sold as slaves and building relationships with these women over a long period of time. Vika, did you learn English there?
No.
What were the first words?
How much? How much?
And what else?
Не помню как презерватив по-английски.
Condom.
Without или...
With?
Да. Это первое, то, что научилось. Hi, how are you? How much?
I had 2 years on the road with that work. That's 9 years of my life. Talking about rape, talking about how to break a woman. After I did The Price of Sex, I received the Nestor Almendros Award for Courage by the Human Rights Watch Film Festival. And I'm thinking, how am I going to accept this? What will I say? I thought, I need to tell them the truth. And the truth was, you shouldn't be giving me an award for courage because I was always scared. I never wanted to get on the plane and I never wanted to do the undercover stuff because I was shit scared. I was so scared. However, I was motivated by anger. They should have given me an award for anger. Anger is the essence of my work. After The Price of Sex, I was in a very particular box, violence against women. Everyone expected me to continue for the next 30 years producing similar type of work. If I continued doing that type of work, I wouldn't be here. Honest, you can regenerate after that, but your heart will be hardened. And I didn't want that to happen. It was during those 2 years of being on the road with The Price of Sex. At every screening, there was always the same question from the audience that kept popping up. After everything you have seen, you must really hate men. So I started answering with a joke because I didn't want to go into what I'm telling you right now in front of 300 people. I wasn't ready to go into it back then. So my answer was, no, I don't hate them, but the next film that I make will be a comedy. And it will be about men. And everyone would laugh. And over time, I thought, why not? The film, Men, a Love Story, was supposed to be a comedy. It's not quite that. The beginning of Men, a Love Story was a disaster. You know how they say you attract what you know? Because I couldn't separate myself from what I knew so well. Misogyny, men abusing women, men lying to women. The first few months of filming Men a Love Story, I was finding men with the most twisted stories about what they were doing to women. So then I made this decision. In order for me to do this film and to do right by this film, I need to have a clear, clean page. So when I go and I interview people, I cannot bring all this shit from the past with me. I need to pretend that I am an alien and I don't know anything about men and human nature, and ask questions with that kind of innocence.
Some people say they fall out of love. I don't understand that. I still love every woman I was ever in love with. I don't want them back, but I still love them.
I loved her touch. That's what I miss. That's what I think about.
You know how you get bitten by a snake, right? And you have to take the anti-venom. So Men a Love Story is the anti-venom for The Price of Sex.
Well, in watching it, you feel like most of them had not sat with somebody and talked about their heart and their feelings in women and love.
Yeah, and don't you think that's sad? I found it really sad that no one had asked them that question. I think it's probably the most human question. What is love for you? What is love for me? And no one had sat down and taken the time to hear that story. It speaks to the core of who you are. The remarkable thing is how many men chose to answer that question. There is not a single guy who walked out of the interview. No one said, you know what? I don't want to be in your film. Why are you asking me these personal questions? You're asking me about my love life, my sex life, whether I cheated. It's amazing how much people tell you if you ask them. It was a film about listening and being open to listen and kind of learn. And each one of these portraits, it's just a little window into their lives.
Tom, what is love?
Huh?
What is love?
I have no idea.
It's the question that everyone wants to know the answer to, right? Ay, ay, ay.
It's the driving force.
When it's gone, just the, like the world loses color.
No.
So what does love mean to you?
I want to say it's everything. But even that sounds kind of lame. But it is everything. There are only two things that truly make me happy. And those two things are love and art. And in a way, they're intertwined. If we are artists, it has to come from a place of love. It has to come from a place of wanting to understand another person. That's the same with interviewing. You have to capture the person's essence, taking the time to truly understand. Get rid of all the layers and all the barriers and all the walls we put up because we're too scared to let someone know who we truly are. When they know that your intentions are pure, and you really want to know them, then they reveal. That right there, that reveal is love. You know, I've left Men a Love Story behind because it did what it needed to do for me to continue making work. So Still I Rise is me returning to my roots of the struggle. You know, it's about people struggling once again.
3 years old, my dad left. Me and my brother were in the room talking. Like, why did mom kick out dad? I don't understand. She threw all this stuff out and was yelling. I don't remember what she was yelling about, but I remember, like, when my brother playing, I fell on the floor and my dad was hiding under our bed. After that, like, we didn't see him for a while.
The stories are tough, but they're incredibly inspiring because they're these lessons of life. They're short, 10 to 15 minutes long. And as a collection, you watch four or five of them, six of them, and you start seeing the pattern of, wow, okay, this is what it takes. This is what it takes to make it.
Then eventually I got to the point where, like, I was going to school, wasn't making no money, and I was like, I'm gonna be stuck out here. And I was like, I can't live any here anymore. So I was out on the street just floating around, trying to sleep on couches, sleeping in parks. And you just learn to adjust. Like, the greatest thing a man can do is adapt. or woman is adapt to your situation. I've never like blamed anybody or myself for like the stuff that I went through, or my parents, my mom for like beating the shit out of me and my brother, but I don't know, I figure life is more so about redemption. Like, it's always you have to redeem yourself, no matter what it is. Like, you can make so many wrongs, but there's so many rights to be made, you know?
Now, I read something by a writer a while back that said you cannot hate people whose stories you know. And it really stuck with me. And everything that's been going on daily when I wake up and I read and I listen and I'm thinking, what can I do? Who can I serve with the work that we do? I decided that those people, people who come from struggle, who've been overlooked historically and currently, are the people who I want to serve. And that mission comes from my background, from my experience in this country, from my experience in the place where I grew up as a child. All of that drives the work that I do. Give me voices I haven't seen enough of. That's what I want.
What's happened in your own life in the course of these last few years?
I had a child. Her name is Mira. I named my daughter after my grandmother. My first film was dedicated to my mom. Men of Love Stories. This is dedicated to her because I want her to see it one day and I want her to ask me those questions of, Mom, why did you do this? Being a single mom is very challenging. Being a professional person and a single mom, incredibly challenging. But where I come from a very patriarchal society, it is a privilege to be able to say that. I love the fact that I'm able to do this.
Mimi Chakarova, Love, Art, and Anger was produced by the Kitchen Sisters with Nathan Dalton, Brandy Howell, and Kitchen Sisters production intern Katie McCutcheon. Special thanks to the National Endowment for the Humanities and the National Endowment for the Arts. Art works.
The Kitchen Sisters Present is part of Radiotopia from PRX, a curated network of extraordinary cutting-edge podcasts created by independent producers.
Radiotopia from PRX is made possible with support from the Knight Foundation, and thanks to AdCirc for providing their ad-serving platform to Radiotopia. Thanks for listening.
Radiotopia.